the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Four Iraqi policemen were injured when a car bomb went off outside a police station in Baghdad Monday, the U.S. military and Iraqi police said. The attack occurred just after 8 a.m. when a suicide bomber drove his car into the gate of a police station in the capital's Amiriya district, said Captain Brad Loudon. Witnesses said the building houses the police force's Bureau of Criminal Investigations. The attack was carried off the day after the capture of former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein. Cornered alone in a cramped hole near one of his sumptuous palaces, a weary, disheveled Saddam Hussein was seized by U.S. troops and displayed on television screens worldwide Sunday, a humiliating fate for one of history's most brutal dictators. The man who waged and lost two wars against the United States and its allies was armed with a pistol when captured in a styrofoam-covered underground hideout, but did not resist, the U.S. military said. In the broadcast images, he resembled a desperate fugitive, an all-powerful president who had ordered his army to fight to the death. Former Senator Paul Simon was honored Sunday in a memorial service filled with dignitaries who paid tribute to the popular low-key senator as a tireless advocate for the oppressed. Simon's plain casket, topped by the artwork of his grandchildren, rested in front of a stage at Southern Illinois University's sports arena, where more than 3,500 people attended a service that included a 60-piece orchestra. Mourners at the service included Illinois Senator Dick Durbin, former Wyoming Senator Alan Simpson, Chicago Mayor Richard M. Daley, and former U.S. Labor Secretary Lynn Martin. When retired General Wesley Clark appears at Slobodan Milosevic's war crimes trial, it will not only be a meeting of wartime foes, but also of two candidates vying for power in elections at home. Clark was taking a hiatus from his campaign for the Democratic presidential nomination to testify on Monday and Tuesday in closed sessions of the Yugoslav War Crimes Tribunal at The Hague. Speaking as U.S. authorities announced the capture of deposed Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein, Clark said, "It's very important that international law is followed and that leaders who violate international law are held accountable." More news after this.
Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. America's national park system is one of the best ideas our country ever had, and I've got a lifetime of memories to prove it. But our parks are in trouble. Inadequate funding and other pressures are risking some of America's most awe-inspiring places. To help, visit www.americansfornationalparks.org or call 1-800-NATPARK, 1-800-NATPARK. There's just too much to lose.
Joe Horn really did phone it in Sunday night. The New Orleans receiver couldn't wait to talk about his touchdown, so he pulled out a cell phone and made a call from the end zone. After his second touchdown against the New York Giants, Horn was handed a phone that was planted under the padding used to protect the goalpost. The NFL had no immediate comment. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, A&E presents the 2003 Biography of the Year.
Well, what an honor. Thanks to my family for supporting me after I survived the Iraq ambush, and my fans for comforting me during my insider trading scandal. Oh, I'm not done. A shout out to my voice coach for helping me become America's favorite idol.
Only one will be Biography of the Year. Sunday night at 8, 7 Central, only on A&E, The Art of Entertainment.
Oh, it's to my fiancé for the rocks that I got. Thanks, sweetie.
Even in this age of rampant materialism, when some consider you inferior if your SUV is not as big as theirs, and even when the president has proclaimed shopping to be a matter of patriotic duty, I found this particular magazine ad to be both offensive and absurd. Shop, it instructed, you're good at it. Excuse me? Is our society so vacuous? Is our worthiness as citizens and human beings so diminished that we should now judge ourselves by shopping skills? Now, I certainly respect those people of modest incomes who have to work the system every day just to make ends meet, those with savvy survival skills who stalk sales, use coupons, go to farmers markets, buy secondhand goods, and otherwise stretch their meager dollars and coins to cover the rent, food, utilities, and other basics in life. But this was no ad for the downscale, but for the decidedly upscale, pitched to those who have idle hours and ample funds or credit to pamper themselves with luxury in excess, implying that buying stuff is some sort of high virtue in its own right. That's why I support the spirit of Buy Nothing Day, which comes the day after Thanksgiving, when corporate world kicks off the spending splurge of the holidays. Sponsored by a group called Adbusters, Buy Nothing Day tries to reestablish a sense of human worthiness beyond consumerism. The group urges us to truly embrace the spirit of the season by making our own gifts, doing something for the community, exchanging personal favors, and otherwise connecting in non-commercial ways. It prizes human creativity over cash. This is Jim Hightower saying, unsurprisingly, ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC refuse to allow Adbusters to purchase airtime for its Buy Nothing Day ads. But you can connect with their rebellious spirit on your own through www.adbusters.org.
The chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued.
Two of them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
We're at 800 Talk Yes, program produced by Catherine Bay, as usual. Robin Dittman is our announcer. We have some technical difficulties here this evening, as usual, with the program. So I hope you can hear us. I hope that it's going out over the air. As you call in this evening, we'll try to work your calls in, and as we normally do. But once again, as is typical with this program, we have technical difficulties. Okay? Sorry about that. So, Saddam Hussein is captured Saturday. Can't they show us some new video yet? Do we have to continue to look at the mouth and lice check over and over? It's worse than the dying doggy video. Do you remember that? Yeah, sure you do. I don't know how to respond. I do know this. 24 people have died in Iraq since Saddam was captured. I also know this. The Debka file, are you familiar with Debka.com? It's based in Israel. It is run by a former Mossad, I believe it's Mossad agent, and actually his daughter. It was profiled. It was featured on 60 Minutes several months back. And the Debka file, while it is extremely anti-Palestinian, pro-Israeli, yada yada yada, it has very good intelligence sources, and for the most part, it does not involve itself in propaganda. American, Israeli, Iraqi, it just doesn't involve itself in propaganda. It finds the truth, whether that truth is palatable to whomever subscribes to the Debka file or not. They are reporting that Saddam was not in hiding, but he was in fact a captive when he was handed over to the U.S. military. The Debka file says a number of questions are raised by the incredibly bedraggled, tired, and crushed condition of this once savage, dapper, and pampered ruler who was discovered in a hole in the ground on Saturday, December 13th. One. The length and state of his hair indicated he had not seen a barber or even had a shampoo for several weeks. 2. The wild state of his beard indicated he had not shaved for the same period. 3. The hole dug in the floor of a cellar in a farm compound near Tikrit was primitive indeed, 6 feet across, 8 feet across, with minimal sanitary arrangements, a far cry from his opulent palaces. 4. Saddam looked beaten and hungry. 5. Detained trying to escape were 2 unidentified men. Left with him were 2 AK-47 assault guns and a pistol, none of which were used. 6. The hole had only one opening. It was not only camouflaged with mud and bricks, it was blocked. Saddam could not have climbed out without someone on the outside removing the covering. 7. And most important, $750,000 in $100 notes were found with him, but no communications equipment of any kind, whether cell phone or even a carrier pigeon for contacting the outside world. Therefore, according to Debka file analysts, these 7 anomalies point to one conclusion. Saddam Hussein was not in hiding. He was a prisoner. After his last audio tape message was delivered and aired over Al Arabiya television on Sunday, November 16th, on the occasion of Ramadan, Saddam was seized, possibly with the connivance of his own men, and held in that hole in Adwar for 3 weeks or more, which would have accounted for his appearance and condition. Meanwhile, his captors bargained for the $25 million prize the Americans promised for information leading to his capture dead or alive. These negotiations were mediated by Jalal Talabani's Kurdish PUK militia. These circumstances would explain the ex-ruler's docility, described by Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez as resignation in the face of his capture by U.S. forces. He must have regarded them as his rescuers and would have greeted them with relief. From General Sanchez's evasive answers to questions on the $25 million bounty, it may be inferred that the Americans and Kurds took advantage of the negotiations with Saddam's abductors to move in close and capture him on their own accord for 3 reasons. A. His capture had become a matter of national pride for the Americans. No kudos would have been attached to his handover by a local gang of bounty seekers or criminals. The country would have been swept anew with rumors that the big hero, Saddam, was again betrayed by the people he trusted, just as in the war. B. It was vital to catch his kidnappers unawares, so to make sure Saddam was taken alive. They might well have killed him and demanded the prize for his body, but they made sure he had no means of taking his own life and may have kept him sedated. And C. During the weeks he is presumed to have been in captivity, guerrilla activity declined markedly, especially in the Sunni triangle towns of Fallujah, Ramadi, and Balad, while surging outside this flashpoint region in Mosul in the north, Najaf, Nasiriyah, and Hilla in the south. It was important for the coalition to lay hands on him before the epicenter of the violence turned back towards Baghdad and the center of the Sunni triangle. The next thing to watch now, Debka file goes on, is not just where and when Saddam is brought to justice for countless crimes against his people and humanity, but what happens to the insurgency. Will it escalate or gradually die down? An answer to this, according to Debka file's counter-terror sources, was received in Washington 9 days before Saddam reached U.S. custody. It came in the form of a disturbing piece of intelligence that the notorious Lebanese terrorist and hostage-taker Imad Mugineya, who figures on the most wanted list of 22 men published by the FBI after 9/11, had arrived in southern Iraq and was organizing a new anti-U.S. terror campaign to be launched in March and April of 2004, which marks the first year of the American invasion. Saddam's capture will not turn this offensive aside. It may even bring it forward. All right, now again, this is not tin hat foil stuff. This is not your typical wild-eyed, did you hear kind of website. This is from debkafile.com. Which, for those of you who have been there, you understand what Debka file is. It is run by a former Israeli Mossad ranking officer who gleans this information with a family member, most notably his daughter and I think son-in-law, from intelligence sources around the world. And this is what they have come up with, that Saddam was being held captive. It's very simple. Not by U.S. forces, but by possibly Kurdish nationals, people who wanted that $25 million. And they had him in the so-called spider hole. Which, once again, if it is true, and I would believe Debka File, even though they are extremely pro-Zionist, pro-Israeli, anti-Palestinian, still their sources are usually good. I would believe Debka File in it. Very, very, very more quickly than I would believe anything that came out of Bush's mouth or anything out of the Bush crime family spokespeople. To compare what Bush says to what Debka File says is comparing night and day. You know, Bush's comment about, well, you know, he had to hide in a hole. No, you moron. He was being held captive until negotiations could be worked out. But as Debka File points out, while the negotiations were going on, U.S. troops moved in because they didn't want the scene of having this guy, this killer, this thug, who deserves to be put on trial by his own people. They did not want the scene of his being handed over by ragtag captives to the American military. That's not part of the scenario. The scenario says that George put his boot up their ass Bush has to prove to the world how macho he is and how great a leader he is and how he directs his commander-in-chief, the U.S. military. Now, the way the story has unfolded is totally counter to that. However, the U.S. media will spin it the Bush way. You are not, let me repeat, you are not going to hear the Debka Files a scenario of how this handover of Saddam Hussein occurred. You are not going to hear it from Tom Brokaw, Dan Rather, or Peter Jennings. It is not going to be on any of the cable news networks, and you damn sure won't find it on the editorial page of the New York Times or the Washington Post. I don't know where you're going to get it unless you go there yourself. Go to debkafile.com and get the story, Indications Saddam Was Not Hiding, But a Captive. And make your own decision. Oh, it's just, oh, and I listened to the news geeks and the right wingers just slobbering and drooling all over themselves. Who was it? Tim, the media whore, number one, Tim Russert. Somebody emailed me, said he was on NBC News tonight. Said Bush is, here it is. This is from Matthew in Sioux City, Iowa. Let me share some of these with you. Mike, the corporate media is driving me nuts. Every city in America was buzzing today with the news about the capture of Saddam in an endless nightmarish loop. This isn't news. It's torture. And to hear the majority of ignorant American sheeple saying we finally got payback for September 11th also is driving me totally nuts. Then I did something I never do. I watched the nightly news with Tom Brokaw, and guess what? Tom Brokaw was so in love with Bush tonight, I thought he was going to start blanking all over himself right there on television. Then NBC had Tim Russert, media whore number one, on to tell us that Bush's ratings now are so high that after the capture of Saddam, Jesus Christ himself couldn't beat Bush in 2004. Then after all this pro-Bush propaganda, they talked about how everything was going just great in Afghanistan. Well, Matthew, yeah, there was an assassination attempt on Pakistan's president, dictator, the military dictator, Pervez Musharraf, today, and there was an attempt on Hamid Karzai. Oh, never mind. So anyway, Matthew says, well, Mike, the 2004 election has begun, and George Bush is a brand new campaign manager. It looks to be NBC. They are planning to take it from here. There's no news about the 9-1-1 investigations, no news about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, no news about Al-Qaeda in Iraq not being connected, no news about Halliburton, nothing but a pro-Bush kiss his ass all day. I am so blank mad at the way the media has fallen so in love with Bush and his fake war in Iraq. That's all I can do, scream from smashing things. And he says a few more things and then just says, thanks. Matthew in Sioux City, Iowa. I know what you're feeling, pal. Trust me.
That what you thought love was for. Maybe you're lost. Maybe you're lost. Maybe you're lost.
special, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you take a feeling sprouty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
We are going to do Rumsfeld now. You know, I talk about doing acid 30 years ago. Rumsfeld must do it daily. Right before he goes out for a press conference, Rummy comes out all acid-headed up and, you know, just stoned on his ass, just completely freaked out.
Oh, hi. I noticed the doorknobs are all crawling around the ceiling. Hello. Ask me nothing. Get these spiders off of me. Ah! People are waving things at me. There's stuff jumping out of doors. Ew, Jesus. You know, the fire hose on the wall there, it just rose up like a snake. And you're asking me questions like, I don't know this stuff.
This is the Secretary of Defense, Truth Seeker. It's insane. Do you understand? These people are crazy.
Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. Oh, good. Now we have an echo. All right. Well, thanks to the people who have emailed in and said that the signal's coming through your computers or Sirius or however you're listening to this. But most of the problems are here on our end. And I think we've got most of them straightened out now. It's just a typical night here on the IE America Radio Network. Nothing to worry about. All right, just a couple more, a little more input from this end, and then we're going to go to your phone calls, because I got just a whole lot of very thoughtful and provocative emails from people over the weekend when Saddam was turned over to the American soldiers by his captors. This is from our senior correspondent in Minnesota, Chris. He's writing on Sunday. It's all over the news this morning. A great victory for the U.S., say the sheeple and their media masters. I wonder how many U.S. soldiers will die today while the media sits on that story and continues with their Saddam's been had story. Looking at the three pictures I've seen, one of him with the beard, the historical picture, and the one after they shaved him, it appears to me as if the beard is superimposed, and background definitely appears this way. Also in the bearded picture, he has a gray beard, graying hair, a bit gray in the mustache. In the shaved picture, his hair is miraculously black again, his mustache completely black. And there is a birthmark of some sort in the bearded picture above his left eyebrow. In the shaved picture, he has no birthmark at all. Let's pretend for a moment there's a problem with the film, that there is no gray hair or beard or mustache or birthmark. Let's pretend, then, that this is Saddam Hussein. So what does this change? Remember that Bush and company said that the minute Saddam was located and captured or killed, the troops would be on their way home. If that is the truth, troop number one should be coming home today. Sadly, we know the track record where it concerns the truth and the Bush thugs. The answer to what this changes is that it changes absolutely nothing. As I said at the beginning of this email, another soldier will die today and two tomorrow and five on Tuesday and so on. I can't wait to see the excuse that these thugs attempt to give for the continued occupation. Of course, I already have a good idea. It'll be something like they've always been saying, we can't cut and run. We got to make sure the country's peaceful, blah, blah, blah. And the people will buy it. The sheeple will buy it, just as they're buying this fiasco. If they wanted peace, they just blew it by announcing Hussein's capture. If they think that this signals the end of the guerrilla attacks, they're sadly mistaken. Chris in Minnesota. R.B. Hamm, as you know, R.B. Hamm, writing from Canada, has been offline for a while. He's back online. R.B. Hamm sent me an email titled, "But He's Our Son of a Bitch." That's a reference to Manuel Noriega, another dictator that we put in power. And the old joke was, yeah, Saddam, Manuel Noriega is a killing, lying, drug-dealing son of a bitch, but he's our son of a bitch, until he was no longer valuable to the Bush crime family, and then Pappy Bush had him taken out. R.B. Hamm writes, yes, of course, it had in this way. In hindsight, we should have seen it coming. The day after George W. Bush held his press dictation declaring that only coalition countries would be allowed contracts to rebuild Iraq. And let me just relay to you that W. was never more self-assured, smug, and arrogant. A day after that came the astounding news that Saddam Hussein was captured. Saddam Hussein, the iron-fisted dictator who commanded respect through intimidation, master of evil, committer of atrocities, and the author of genocide. But wait, that dirty, unkempt, pathetic individual on the videotape doesn't look at all that scary. He seems resigned to his fate, following instructions meekly as a medical doctor pokes and prods him. No pretensions of grandeur now. Not for you, slime bag. And this is the guy who thought he was the reincarnation of Nebuchadnezzar? More from RB in a moment. Let's take a quick break.
When I was just a little girl, I knew I'd marry a president. I had a song then going through my head, no idea what it meant. Get Saddam, Saddam. The key to national unity. Get Saddam, Saddam.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
River blindness once forced people in Africa to abandon their homes, but efforts to control the disease have helped them go home. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. River blindness has produced human misery on a massive scale across Africa. Black flies spread the disease, and they infect their victims with a parasite that gives rise to numerous symptoms that include the loss of sight. Eric Perlman is a microbiologist at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, Ohio, and he studies this parasite. Perlman says it's spread by biting flies that breed in rivers that run through fertile farmlands. For generations, this disease has been a serious health problem in West Africa.
A result of this was that these villages were emptied. And you can go onto the World Health Organization website, WHO.org, and you can find some pictures of this. You can see pictures of abandoned villages where people would just pick up and leave because of this disease. And that was really the motivation for the World Health Organization to become involved.
The UN organization used insecticides to kill the flies, and medical researchers looked for ways to treat people who had the disease. The victims are infected with larvae of a parasitic worm. When they grow into adults, they produce larvae of their own that can invade the eye. The worms themselves are infected with bacteria, and that's what causes the loss of eyesight. Perlman says the use of antibiotics can kill these bacteria and keep the adult worms from reproducing.
And so this is the drug against the adult parasites that people have been looking for years. The downside of this is that it takes several weeks of daily treatment to be effective, at least at this point in the investigation. And that, when you're talking about thousands of villages in fairly remote parts of Africa, is not the most practical approach.
Perlman says research is underway to make these treatments more practical. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Iraqi regime is a threat of unique urgency. It has developed weapons of mass death.
Back to R.B. Ham, 27 before the hour. He's referencing what happened over the weekend with the capture of what appeared to be a stumble bum from your local Skid Row. R.B. writes, and this is a guy who thought he was the reincarnation of Nebuchadnezzar. How long ago does it seem to you, Saddam, those halcyon days of military glory and economic expansion, as you proved useful to the Reagan and first Bush regime by fighting that common enemy for us, the Iranians? Do you fondly recall meeting the envoy Donald Rumsfeld? Did that handshake make you feel you had tacit approval of your own agenda? You have learned a lesson, Saddam, you useful idiot. You're just another in a long line of despots who is used by U.S. foreign policy for their own ends. As long as you don't go rogue or screw up or invade a country on an American diplomatic statement that you hoped gave you cover, moron, welcome to the trap. Look, when you go overboard and assume that being in U.S. favor somehow means U.S. loyalty, well, then you become not an asset but an embarrassment. Thus the trap is sprung. You have become a created enemy. Yes, I know. You thought you were buddies with the Reagan-Bush administration. They helped you out when you were in an 8-year war with Iran. But it was profitable for the arms industry. And you weren't threatening anybody George W. Bush had an oil deal with. But that was then. This is now. You're simply joining a long line of dictators past. Manuel Noriega comes to mind. The Shah of Iran is another. There have been many more in the past, and there will most likely be many more in the future. At least you didn't take the coward's way out like that panty-waist Adolf Hitler. No bunker for you, eh? What's with that? Just a dirt hole, dressed in rags, all trappings of military insignia gone, and all aspirations of godhood crumbled? Now that is ironic. In Iraq, this changes very little in the short term, Saddam. The attacks, especially those perpetrated by foreign instigators, will continue. Security will still be an issue, but that can be aided by the speedy expedition of Saddam Hussein's handover to Iraqi authorities. It is very important to the Iraqi people to put this mass criminal on trial. They want the complete truth of what happened during the years of the dictator's rule. Any hint of a cover-up or some kind of charade trial won't mollify these long-suffering citizens. There's a real chance here for some forward thinking. With many war crimes tribunals in the past to draw from, especially Nuremberg, we should show the Arab world how to conduct a proper legal trial with the full rights of the accused assured, with a good American lawyer defending the accused with the best of his abilities, all the evidence presented and weighed. A verdict proclaimed publicly and with the input of the public who suffered most from his crimes. As a matter of fact, those of us who want to see the dirty dealings of the Bush family evil empire exposed also pray fervently for just such a trial. Unfortunately, I have a suspicion that the Bush administration will attempt to delay the exchange until they can be sure that there will be very little exposed regarding the old American-Iraqi alliance. It may not cast too rosy of a glow on past administrations dealing with this brutal tyrant. And he was exactly that, even as he reached his apex of power with the direct assistance of American foreign policy. Yeah, that's R.B. Hamm writing at his website. That's what's driving me insane about the way the always reliable, whorish American media is reporting this thing. That's what's driving me crazy. Saddam Hussein, a useless piece of human waste that never would have come to power except in 1963. After the United States attempted to assassinate the duly elected leader in Iraq, we caused that country to go into utter chaos. In the Ba'athist power, a party came to power. And a few years later, Saddam Hussein emerged from the Ba'athist party. Every single time we do this, don't we? Whether it is Somoza in Nicaragua, Batista in Cuba, Marcos in the Philippines, the Shah in Iran. It just goes on and on. It never stops. It never stops. And our disgusting, brain-dead media refuses to put this stuff into context. And they parade this moron George Bush out there while he makes his half-witted, asinine statements about hidey holes and hunt him down dead or alive. And you and me? Well, we know the truth. But the American public, for the most part,
hey, we got that son of a bitch, boy. I'm going to vote for George Bush. Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
And David emails that Brokaw actually said on NBC News tonight, quote, we got one of the persons responsible for 911. According to David, Brokaw went on to say that one of the terrorists trained in Iraq. If you want to follow that logic, then Jeb Bush is also responsible for since the terrorists took flight training in Florida. And wouldn't that put George W. Bush also responsible since all of them trained in the United States? Peter Jennings, Dan Rather, and Tom Brokaw, and Wolf Blitzer, and the five-year-olds over at the Fox News Channel, and the rest of them are scum and slime and swine, and they do their job every single night to prevent the American public from ever, ever, ever knowing the truth or the context. Ever. God. Okay, let's take a quick look at the plus and minuses of Saddam's handover by his captors. The angry liberal had this a buzz flash. Here are the pluses. A former ally of the Reagan administration is going to jail. The senseless deaths of Iraqi civilians via political assassinations under the Hussein regime have come to an end. Hussein's capture may demoralize resistance fighters in Iraq. A spacious cellar near Tikrit is now available for immediate occupancy. And the $750,000 in cash found on Saddam Hussein could offset by 3% the cost of the $25 million reward offered for his capture. Now, let's take a look at the minuses. Nearly 500 dead American soldiers. Nearly 3,000 wounded American soldiers. Low morale, suicides, divorces, and the general upheaval of the lives of our military personnel and their families, and the numbers are increasing. Estimates of between 8 and 10,000 dead Iraqi civilians, although the Coalition Provisional Authority will not allow an official body count to be performed. The beginning of senseless Iraqi civilian deaths via insurgent bombings under the Coalition Provisional Authority. That's us. Hussein's capture may embolden and or inspire resistance fighters in Iraq. Approximately $90 billion added to America's public debt, and the number is increasing. The diverting of anti-terrorism intelligence and military resources to the prosecution of the Iraq War. The anti-Americanization of the civilized world, which will make it easier for Al-Qaeda to find refuge, financing, and other assistance worldwide. And the misguided belief by America's dumbest conservatives that Hussein's capture somehow represents a blow to terrorism. I don't know. In 1963, the U.S. played a key role in the overthrow of the Iraqi leader General Abdul Karim Qasem. After an unsuccessful CIA assassination attempt against him. This is back in the late 50s, early 60s, when if we didn't like somebody, we just killed them. If we couldn't kill them, we overthrew their duly elected government. If we couldn't do that, we started insurgencies within their countries. But by God, we were going to have their assets, we were going to control their country, and we were going to use them in our great chess game with the Soviets. It didn't make any difference who it was. So since we couldn't murder General Abdul Karim Qasem, we overthrew his government. And that led to the Ba'ath Party coming to power. And Saddam Hussein eventually wound up with control of the country. During Iraq's war with Iran in the 80s, during the Reagan years, we supplied Iraq with military intelligence as well as the means to create biological and chemical weapons. In 1983, Donald Rumsfeld went to Iraq where he publicly expressed the Reagan administration's support of Saddam's government. Just doesn't stop, right? Michael Moore. Yeah, that Michael Moore. He had something interesting to say. Stay with me. I know you're on hold. Stay with me. I'm going to come to your calls. I just want to get this going or get this finished, because once we take your calls, we're probably not going to be able to come back to too much of this except for quotes from Too Stupid to Be President. Thank God Saddam is finally back in American hands. He must have really missed us. Man, he sure looked bad, but at least he got a free dental exam today. That's something most Americans can't get. America used to like Saddam. We loved Saddam. We funded him. We armed him. We helped him gas Iranian troops. But then he screwed up. He invaded the dictatorship of Kuwait, and in doing so did the worst thing imaginable. He threatened an even better friend of ours, the dictatorship of Saudi Arabia and its vast oil reserves. The Bushes and the Saudi royal family were and are close business partners, and Saddam, back in 1990, committed a royal blunder by getting a little too close to their wealthy holdings, and things went downhill for Saddam from there. But it wasn't always that way. Saddam was our good friend and ally. We supported his regime. It wasn't the first time we had helped a murderer. We liked playing Dr. Frankenstein. We created a lot of monsters, the Shah of Iran, Somoza of Nicaragua, Pinochet of Chile. And then we expressed ignorance or shock when they ran amok and massacred people.
We liked Saddam because he was willing to fight the Ayatollah, so we made sure that he got billions of dollars to purchase weapons. Weapons of mass destruction. That's right, he had them. We should know. We gave them to him. We allowed and encouraged American corporations to do business with Saddam in the 80s. That's how he got chemical and biological agents, so he could use them in chemical and biological weapons. Here's the list of some of the stuff we sent him, according to a 1994 U.S. Senate report. Bacillus anthraxis. That's for anthrax. Clostridium botulinum. That's botulin toxin. Histoplasma capsulatum. Cause of a disease attacking lungs, brain, spinal cord, and heart. Brucella melitensis, a bacteria that can damage major organs. Clostridium perfringens, a highly toxic bacteria causing systemic illness. Clostridium tetani, a highly toxigenic substance. He got this stuff from us. And here are some of the American corporations who helped prop up Saddam by doing business with him. AT&T, Bechtel, Caterpillar, Dow Chemical, DuPont, Kodak, Hewlett-Packard, IBM. That's the short list. We were so cozy with dear old Saddam that we decided to feed him satellite images so he could locate where the Iranian troops were. We pretty much knew how he would use the information, and sure enough, as soon as we gave him the photos, he gassed those troops. And we kept quiet because he was our friend and the Iranians were the enemy. A year after he first gassed the Iranians, we reestablished full diplomatic relations with him. A year after he gassed the Iranians. Later, he gassed his own people, the Kurds. You would think that would force us to disassociate ourselves from him. Congress tried to impose economic sanctions on Saddam, but the Reagan White House quickly rejected that idea. They wouldn't let anyone or anything derail their good buddy Saddam. We had a virtual love fest with this Frankenstein, whom we, in part, created. And just like the mythical Frankenstein, Saddam eventually spun out of control. He would no longer do what he was told by his master. Saddam had to be caught. And now that he has been brought back from the wilderness, perhaps he will have something to say about his creators. Maybe we can learn something interesting. Maybe Don Rumsfeld could smile and shake Saddam's hand again, just like he did when he went to see him in 1983. Maybe we never would have been in the situation we're in if Rumsfeld, Bush Sr., and the rest of the thugs hadn't been so excited back in the 80s about their friendly monster in the desert. Meanwhile, anybody know where the guy is who killed 3,000 people on 911, our other Frankenstein? Maybe he's in a mouse hole. So many of our little monsters, so little time before the next election. Stay strong, Democratic candidates. Quit sounding like a bunch of wusses. These bastards sent us to war on a lie. The killing will not stop. The Arab world hates us with a passion, and we will pay for this out of our pockets for years to come. Nothing that happened today with the captured Saddam or in the past 9 months has made us one bit safer in our post-911 world. Saddam was never a threat to our national security. Only our desire to play Dr. Frankenstein dooms us all. Michael Moore. Well, and Greg Palast had something to say. You know, the usual gang. You, me, Michael Moore, Greg Palast, R.B. Ham. I don't think I have ever felt so isolated. How about you? I woke up, when was this? A Sunday, Kathy? We woke up, what? We sleep in Sunday, 11 o'clock, flip on CNN, drink coffee, try to read the New York Times. There it is. Saddam captured. Saddam captured. Saddam captured. And this whorish, useless, disgusting media in this country, not a single challenge, not a question, nothing. Just keep showing the video. How many times did that video play? Oh, we left the house. We went about our business after the first, I don't know, it took about an hour and a half. We had breakfast, drank coffee, read the Times, got the hell out of Dodge. How many times did they show that picture? How many times? I saw it even today. Checking him for head lice and sticking the flashlight down his throat. Over and over and over and over and over again.
After them, why have we waited so long? Why didn't we sort this out last time? Was he less evil then than he is now. The stock market holds the answer to why him, why here, why now. 'Cause it's all about the price of oil. It's all about the price.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel. Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, I guess what we ought to do now is take some calls for you from you. I don't know. I'm blown away. I really am blown away by what occurred. Saddam Hussein was one hateful son of a bitch that should be turned over to his own people. The same way Mussolini and his mistress were turned over to the Italians. It would be over that quick. The Bush crime family has used this poor bastard for over 20 years now, and the United States has used him and the Ba'athist Party for over 40. This story just never ends, does it? It doesn't make any difference who the dictator is. It doesn't make any difference how vile or filthy or hateful he is, how much destruction and pain and suffering he brings to his people, like Marcos, like Somoza, like Batista, like the Shah. It just doesn't make any difference, like Noriega. And then when whatever crime family is in operation, and it's usually Republicans, and in the past 25 years it's been exclusively Republicans.
Well, yeah, but Bill Clinton was president for 8 years.
Yeah, I know. It's been exclusively Republicans. Once they are finished with him, then the hammer comes down. And how many civilians die when our illustrious government and our amazing military takes out these dictators? How many innocent civilians die? How many people are buried in the rubble? 1,000 or 10,000 or 50,000 or 100,000? And it doesn't matter, does it? And then the stinking media in this country glorifies the action that caused the downfall of the dictator that we created. And never once, not ever, do they put it into context. Do they tell us the truth? And not you and me, and not Michael Moore, and not Greg Palast, and not R.B. Ham, and not Bart Kopp, and not the folks at BuzzFlash, and not my senior correspondent, and not any of us who take the time to figure out the truth. But the 99.9% of the American public who doesn't give a tinker's damn about the truth, they sit back and absorb this crap being put out by media. And it's like, yeah, hey, kill the son of a bitch. Man, he came over here and got 3,000 Americans. Kill the son of a bitch. Kill the son of a bitch. Look what he did to our country. Kill him.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling up.
about the Michael Loy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Cornered alone in a cramped hole near one of his sumptuous palaces, a weary, disheveled Saddam Hussein was seized by U.S. troops and displayed on television screens worldwide Sunday, a humiliating fate for one of history's most brutal dictators. The man who waged and lost two wars against the United States and its allies was armed with a pistol when captured in a styrofoam-covered underground hideout, but did not resist, the U.S. military said. In the broadcast images, he resembled a desperate fugitive, an all-powerful president who had ordered his army to fight to the death. Four Iraqi policemen were injured when a car bomb went off outside a police station in Baghdad Monday, the U.S. military and Iraqi police said. The attack occurred just after 8 a.m. when a suicide bomber drove his car into the gate of a police station in the capital's Amariya district, said Captain Brad Loudon. Witnesses said the building houses the police force's Bureau of Criminal Investigations. The attack was carried off the day after the capture of former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein. When retired General Wesley Clark appears at Slobodan Milosevic's war crimes trial, it will not only be a meeting of wartime foes, but also of two candidates vying for power in elections at home. Clark was taking a hiatus from his campaign for the Democratic presidential nomination to testify on Monday and Tuesday in closed sessions of the Yugoslav War Crimes Tribunal at The Hague. Speaking as U.S. authorities announced the capture of deposed Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein, Clark said, "It's very important that international law is followed and that leaders who violate international law are held accountable." Former Senator Paul Simon was honored Sunday in a memorial service filled with dignitaries who paid tribute to the popular low-key senator as a tireless advocate for the oppressed. Simon's plain casket, topped by the artwork of his grandchildren, rested in front of a stage at Southern Illinois University's sports arena, where more than 3,500 people attended a service that included a 60-piece orchestra. Mourners at the service included Illinois Senator Dick Durbin, former Wyoming Senator Alan Simpson, Chicago Mayor Richard M. Daley, and former U.S. Labor Secretary Lynn Martin. More news after this.
Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. America's national park system is one of the best ideas our country ever had, and I've got a lifetime of memories to prove it. But our parks are in trouble. Inadequate funding and other pressures are risking some of America's most awe-inspiring places. To help, visit www.americansfornationalparks.org or call 1-800-NATPARK, 1-800-NATPARK. That's just too much to lose.
519 Christmas carolers braved the New York cold and fa-la-la-la-la'd themselves into the Guinness Book of World Records on Saturday, with the largest carol service breaking the previous record of 517. Guinness officials had 12 marshals on the scene to make sure all carolers were actually singing and not just moving their lips. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, A&E presents the 2003 Biography of the Year.
Wow, what an honor. Thanks to my family for supporting me after I survived the Iraq ambush, and my fans for comforting me during my insider trading scandal. A shout out to my voice coach for helping me become America's favorite idol.
Only one will be Biography of the Year. Sunday night at 8, 7 Central, only on A&E, The Art of Entertainment.
Oh, it's to my fiancé for the rocks that I got. Thanks, sweetie.
Even in this age of rampant materialism, when some consider you inferior if your SUV is not as big as theirs, and even when the president has proclaimed shopping to be a matter of patriotic duty, I found this particular magazine ad to be both offensive and absurd. Shop, it instructed. You're good at it. Excuse me? Is our society so vacuous? Is our worthiness as citizens and human beings so diminished that we should now judge ourselves by shopping skills? Now, I certainly respect those people of modest incomes who have to work the system every day just to make ends meet, those with savvy survival skills who stalk sales, use coupons, go to farmers markets, buy secondhand goods, and otherwise stretch their meager dollars and coins to cover the rent, food, utilities, and other basics in life. But this was no ad for the downscale, but for the decidedly upscale, pitched to those who have idle hours and ample funds or credit to pamper themselves with luxury in excess, implying that buying stuff is some sort of high virtue in its own right. That's why I support the spirit of Buy Nothing Day, which comes the day after Thanksgiving, when corporate world kicks off the spending splurge of the holidays. Sponsored by a group called Adbusters, Buy Nothing Day tries to reestablish a sense of human worthiness beyond consumerism. The group urges us to truly embrace the spirit of the season by making our own gifts, doing something for the community, exchanging personal favors, and otherwise connecting in non-commercial ways. It prizes human creativity over cash. This is Jim Hightower saying, unsurprisingly, ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC refuse to allow Adbusters to purchase airtime for its Buy Nothing Day ads. But you can connect with their rebellious spirit on your own through www.adbusters.org.
Dan Cowardy.
I'm El Bracciacci, the famous mariachi.
Whatever.
This is Renee Scarponi.
Hey, baby.
This is Kim Kasnick.
Yeah, baby.
This is John Lucas.
Hey. This is Stephanie Stryker.
Yeah, bud.
This is Steve Damshire.
This is Shaw Jones.
This is Bill Vellner.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Ron Metzinger.
From our family, cheers. Have a
happy holiday and a great new year.
Isn't that just too cute?
I like Santa Claus.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Okay, let's take some phone calls now. I pretty much got said everything I wanted to say and quoted for you the people from whom I wanted to quote about what occurred over the weekend, the capture of Saddam Hussein, which in fact it appears now was a handover by people who were holding him for ransom, trying to negotiate the terms. And it also appears, according to Debka.com, the Debka file in Israel, it appears that even those negotiations broke down because the Bush crime family could not tolerate the television images of kidnappers turning this thug in to collect a $25 million reward. So that's where we are. That's where we are. George is calling from Woodland or Woodlawn Hills, California. Hey, George.
Yeah, Woodlawn Hills. Hi, Mikey.
Hey.
Sound like you're feeling better?
Oh, yeah, I'm feeling great.
God almighty, Mike. You're raving tonight. You're psyched.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, man, I'm telling you. I've been holding this phone to my ear for an hour. I think I'm getting cauliflower ears. Anyway, Mike, I read those articles you mentioned earlier, and there's something that nobody seemed to jump on, Mike.
Yeah?
When the early articles came out yesterday, the first articles about the capture, they mentioned that they did a DNA test and it matched. And then all of a sudden, there's no mention of the DNA again in any of the articles today or last night. And, you know, I mean, I remember the O.J. Simpson case, Mike. It took like 6 or 7 days to get O.J.'s match. They did it in like 6 hours. That's pretty amazing considering that, you know, I mean, I can't imagine they have really good laboratories in Tikrit, you know. And I just can't, you know, and I think they really made a fool of themselves saying that. And they exposed themselves. I mean, and then they said, holy mackerel, you know, we probably shouldn't have gone that far. And they withdrew it. And you're not reading anything about the DNA. But the original article said that they did a DNA matchup and it matched perfectly. And this was all in about 6 hours. And, Mike, you know better than that. You know, it takes days for a DNA to be done.
I do know that, George. But I refuse to try to pretend in my own mind that anything that comes from American media anymore or anything that comes from the Bush administration has any bearing on the truth whatsoever.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying this is...
I will trust in certain reports, mm-hmm. in certain stories.
Well, you know, I'm just saying this...
Certain stories and certain reports, I will trust the organization I quoted earlier.
Great article.
I will trust reports from Red Post. Mm-hmm. I will trust reports from the BBC or some of the British press.
Mm-hmm.
There is not one American media outlet that I trust. There are some individual reporters that still have no respect.
Mm-hmm.
But anything about this story is, as far as I'm concerned, is an utter and absolute distortion or a lie,
mm-hmm.
which is being reported by American media.
Well, exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying. This is a lie that people can jump on because, I mean, this shows that this whole thing was staged. I mean, the leader of the free world, our big brave leader in his jumpsuit, reduces the meanest man in the world to a quivering hulk in a hole in the ground. I mean, how cinematic. Hollywood wouldn't have come up with something better than that, you know?
Yeah.
This guy looked like he was over-medicated. He was disoriented. And they said he was contentious. Did he look contentious to you? He looked like he was spaced out.
Yeah. He had been drugged when he was held in the spider hole, as Bush called it. He was drugged by his captors. He was mm-hmm. held while they negotiated for the $25 million reward.
Mm-hmm.
He was completely sedated. He probably couldn't find his ass with both hands when he finally turned him over.
Oh, it's funny. I'm a recovering addict, you know, and this is the old stereotype of the junkie, you know, slowly pouring at his nose. It looked like he was pouring at his beard because he couldn't find his nose.
Yeah.
You know, he was so out of it, you know, and if this gets exposed as another, Thanksgiving turkey,
it doesn't matter.
Mission accomplished sort of thing.
I know, but this doesn't matter. Here's the facts. We created Frankenstein's monster. We created somebody who was a killer, who tortured and destroyed his own people, who spent years killing and destroying not just his people, but anybody he could get his filthy hands on.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is a real pig, Saddam Hussein.
Oh, he is.
Like so many of the real pigs that we backed and supported and created. And having said that...
Like George Bush.
Yeah, well, there's another one. I mean, Osama bin Laden, George Bush, and Paul Wolfowitz are still on the list, so, you know, we shouldn't celebrate. But Saddam is just clearly another example of how we, the United States, create these monsters,
mm-hmm.
and then we drive a stake through their hearts and stand back and say, ha-ha, look, we saved the world. The people who created him are complicit in any crime that he committed, and that includes... the United States government going back to Ronald Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, going back to 1963, to the CIA's involvement during the Kennedy years. The CIA had so many people assassinated during this plan at the time, including John Kennedy. It's just a horrifying history. The United States has left an enormous footprint on the planet and is just a bloody footprint. That's where we are. Hey, thanks for checking in, George.
Hey, Mikey, by the way, just one other thing, man. Get the book by James Carville. Great book. Had Enough, A Handbook for Fighting Back.
Yeah. Okay.
Great book.
All right,
I'll do. Take care, Mike.
Thank you,
sir. Appreciate you. All right, we're having more problems in here. You probably can't hear us. I apologize for that. I don't know what's going on tonight. As we try to pop the sound up, it's just going nowhere. So, hearing it, I know this sounds like teenage radio, and I apologize, but that's what it's like. What it's been like for months and months and months of us trying to run this network. Sorry about it, but you just have to focus like we do. Jack is calling from Washington, D.C.
Jack, welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Yeah, I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but you can only hear the callers on the Internet at this point. So I'm getting more airtime than you are.
I'm surprised you can hear anything. Everything's kind of messed up in here. The only thing I can
think to do is to bail out of the program tonight, throw a tape on, and we'll just try to get more. We're getting close to that, trust me.
That's the best idea right now. But in the meantime, let me throw my two cents in. I'm kind of interested right now in how this is affecting party politics. I, maybe being too pessimistic, feel that this is the end of a unified Democratic Party, if there was anything of it. And I draw right now to the comments of Lieberman, which were also backed up by Kerry on Sean Hannity's program today, when they attacked Dean, saying that had Dean been president, Saddam would still be out there, and we would live in a more dangerous world. And, you know, I am afraid that this inconsistency in the party is going to lead to too much factioning
I agree. My immediate take right now, because of the idiocy of Democratic candidates other than Kucinich or Dean or some of the candidates that will never get beyond the first primary, that would be Carol Mosley-Brown
and
Charlton. Right. The fact that Democrats are doing what Democrats always do, and that is they are self-destructing. The one thing that may be true here, and I don't want to get a bunch of emails out from people telling me I'm being negative, but the one thing that may be true, because of the inability of the Democratic Party leadership to clearly articulate the difference between our party and these filthy Republicans, that's A. B, because of the cooperation of media in this country to the Bush Clinton family's agenda, and C, because any kind of political dissent, even how little it is, what exists now, is labeled as treasonous, it may be over. It may be time to put a fork in the Democratic Party. It's toast. It's done. It's finished. And for people like you and me and our kids, and in my case, my grandkids, look forward to the next two or three or possibly four generations of right-wing neo-fascist rule in this country. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, there are still people willing to fight, including me. I'll keep fighting until I'm either no longer employable or get hauled off into my own spider hole. But I'll tell you what, it's getting bleaker and bleaker. And I don't think I'm being a Cassandra for sitting around talking about that. I think anybody with a sense God being a goose can understand that a population cannot be informed and cannot act properly if the media that is charged to inform it is as incompetent and demon as the media that runs this country.
Well, I agree with you, and I think that there is a lot to say with the idea that the Democrats ran Congress for...
Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here. Looks like we're having some technical difficulties all of a sudden. So until we get it repaired, we're going to play a rebroadcast of one of my better programs. So stick around.
And see what we can do on the basis of what little compromise we can get. And then regroup, rebuild, and hopefully, like you said, in 30 years from now, we get back into office and we give the American, as you call them, sheeple enough rope to hang themselves where they turn around one morning and say, what the hell did I just do? And then the Democrats go back into the White House.
Well, the only I agree. The only problem with the major problem with that, Jack, is that 30 years from now, if it took us 30 years of wandering in the wilderness, 30 years from now, there's no way in hell that there'd be a country left worth saving. But again, I'm not ready to throw in the towel yet, and I don't think you are, and I don't think the people who listen to this program are. Hey, thanks for checking in, Don.
Have a good day, sir.
All right.
David is calling.
We officially call him King David. He's a Woodstock Nation judge. Hey, David.
Hello. By the way, it appears to be a network problem because Sirius is having the same problem. So something wrong with the interface with the phone line, I think.
Yeah, it's probably in our Detroit office. all, I'm about ready to put the tape on and just call it quits for tonight and go back tomorrow, because I simply can't handle this. But go ahead.
Okay. By the way, have you ever noticed if you put a red wig on Tim Russert, he looks just like Chucky in the Child's Play movies?
He does.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a twinkle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. I understand that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens have been listening to that Mike Malloy person pollute this great nation's airwaves for 3 hours every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Surely you can find a more productive use of your evening hours, like organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly in your victory garden. Or you could spend the 3 hours simply standing in your yard, saluting the flag on your house, apartment, or trailer, or whatever you little people live in. I'm told some chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time when they feel the unnatural and un-American temptation to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm certain in time you'll find the method that works best for you and your family. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
justice and the American way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
24 past the hour. All right, here's what we're going to do tonight, Truth Seekers, since the problem here is very, very severe. We're going to finish up this half hour, and we're gone. So what we'll do, when we come back after the break, you'll hear something you've already heard, and that's the best I can do tonight until we get this fixed. Back to David, who has called in from our he's our Woodstock Bureau Chief. Go ahead, David. Thanks for holding on.
Okay, I'm closing tonight. Interesting.
Yeah, you are.
there's something I have to fess up to at this point. The apartment house that I live in, for renting here, they give you a Dish Network subscription.
Uh-huh.
And as a result, I wind up watching KTLA out of Los Angeles, the Tribune station out there.
Right.
On their newscast, guaranteed, three times a week minimum, you will see one of those dopey car chases up and down the freeway system in Los Angeles by either the CHIPS or you know, whatever local police department.
Right.
I was watching the coverage Saddam deal yesterday, and I finally realized why I am so fascinated by those car chases.
Why?
Those are the only things on a regular broadcast newscast that are real. Those are the only things where you can actually say, hey, you know, what you see is what you get.
Right, right. That's very true, David.
You know, there's no way that, you know, the story hasn't finished yet, so there's no way that they can, For some reason or other, that seems to be the big draw. Well, that's the reason why. It's the only real thing that you will see.
So does that explain why the networks kept running the picture of Saddam being lice checked and running a flashlight into his mouth all weekend and even today? It's the only real thing you'll see on television?
Well, that's the closest to about the only real part of that story that I saw. I'm not even too sure that was really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have questions about that, but...
Do you think that was really Saddam?
I suspect as much.
You don't think there's a possibility?
I'm not, you know... It's 60-40, I'm sure.
Yeah. At least 60-40. Maybe 70-30.
Yeah.
The mouth breathing the mouth breathing of the media and the fact that every single media outlet that I've come in contact with in the past... 96 hours has been doing for George Bush what Monica did for Bill Clinton, and it's just an embarrassment. It's just an embarrassment. Like I said before, no context, no truth, no factual basis for reporting the story. Nothing. Just George Bush is now Christ. George Bush is the risen Christ, not Christ on the cross. George Bush is the risen Christ because he has brought to justice now one of the people who hit this country on September
11, 2001. Artie har.
Yeah.
Of course, with Fox News, one additional problem with them is that in their own name, they don't quite use the right vowels.
Yeah, Raul, be careful there. Be careful.
I'm not going any further than that. That's, you know, I know where to stop.
Okay, well, thank you, David.
Okay, survive the night.
All right, sir, appreciate your call. All right, we're going to wrap it up here and call it a night. I'm sorry, I apologize. There's not a damn thing I can do about it. There is some problem between the interface with the network and... it's our network, and the internet, and Sirius satellite radio, and the radio stations carry the program. This is a typical occurrence on this network, and I apologize for it. There's nothing we can do. I will see you tomorrow night. Have a nice evening.
I've seen nations rise and fall. I've heard their stories, heard them all. But love's the only engine of survival.
Nobody,
he has been
30
told
emails
to say it clear.
Nobody
it cool.
Can hear.
It's
nobody
over.
Can hear.
It cool.
You had
and
okay lovers all fucking night. Okay,
and
nobody
now
can
the
hear.
Wheels
I'm not
of stop. You feel the devil's riding crop. Get ready for the future.
thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
River blindness once forced people in Africa to abandon their homes, but efforts to control the disease have helped them go home. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. River blindness has produced human misery on a massive scale across Africa. Black flies spread the disease, and they infect their victims with a parasite that gives rise to numerous symptoms that include the loss of sight. Eric Perlman is a microbiologist at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, Ohio, and he studies this parasite. Perlman says it's spread by biting flies that breed in rivers that run through fertile farmlands. For generations, this disease has been a serious health problem in West Africa.
A result of this was that these villages were emptied. And you can go onto the World Health Organization website, WHO.org, and you can find some pictures of this. You can see pictures of abandoned villages where people would just pick up and leave because of this disease. And that was really the motivation for the World Health Organization to become involved.
The UN organization used insecticides to kill the flies, and medical researchers looked for ways to treat people who had the disease. The victims are infected with larvae of a parasitic worm. When they grow into adults, they produce larvae of their own that can invade the eye. The worms themselves are infected with bacteria, and that's what causes the loss of eyesight. Perlman says the use of antibiotics can kill these bacteria and keep the adult worms from reproducing.
And so this is the drug against the adult parasites that people have been looking for years. The downside of this is that it takes several weeks of daily treatment to be effective, at least at this point in the investigation. And that, when you're talking about thousands of villages in fairly remote parts of Africa, is not the most practical approach.
Perlman says research is underway to make these treatments more practical. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk Oscar. About what you do to your animals Whale. And what your animals do to you. Whale. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal Jack. Questions Zebra. From A to Z. Iguana. Sunday nights on IE America Minx. Radio Narwhal. Network.
Ostrich. Right,
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
Zebra.
Hi, this is Suzanne Gowardy.
I'm El Bracciotti, the famous mariachi.
Whatever.
This is Renee Scarponi.
Hey, baby.
This is Kim Kasnick.
Yeah, baby.
This is John Lucas.
Hey.
This is Stephanie Stryker.
Yeah, bud.
This is Steve Damshire.
This is Shaw Jones.
This is Bill Vellner.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Ron Metzinger.
From our family to yours, have
a happy holiday and a great new year.
Isn't that just too cute?
I like Santa Claus.
The man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 27 before the hour. We want to say hello to somebody. Did anybody mind? To Mary in Cocoa, Florida, from Drew in Houston. Drew writes in and says, regarding the second Atlanta Pop Festival, Drew writes in, I was there with you if it was in July of 1970, South of Macon. I remember the Allman Brothers had just moved there from Florida, and it was one of Hendrix's last shows. And I've often wondered why that watermelon cost $1 a slice. Thanks for clearing that up. Also, would you please say hello to my 77-year-old mother, Mary in Cocoa, Florida. I have to send off the supply of your shows on CD because she's not hooked up to the Internet. Drew in Houston. Well, Drew, by God, that remember, if you remember, Drew, it was hotter than 30 hells down there. It was just awful. All right. Now, here's the setup. The thing our senior producer, our senior correspondent sent in, Mike's message, Michael Moore. It's an interview with Georgian Pickles from the current issue of Ladies' Home Journal. They're asked about what September 11, 2001 was like for them personally. And as Michael Moore writes, although over 3,000 people had just perished, George W. was able to find some humor by the end of the day. Now, Kathy is going to be the voice of Peggy Noonan, the interviewer, and Laura Bush, and I will play George. All right?
You were separated on September 11th. What was it like when you saw each other again? Well, we just hugged. I think there was a certain amount of security in being with each other, other than being apart.
But the day ended on a relatively humorous note. The agent said, you'll be sleeping downstairs. Washington's still a dangerous place. And I said, no, I can't sleep down there. The bed didn't look comfortable. And, you know, I'm really tired, and Laura was tired. And, well, we like our own bed. We like our own routine, you know, kind of a nester. I knew I had to deal with the issue the next day and provide strength and comfort to the country. And so I needed rest in order to be mentally prepared. So I told the agent, we're going upstairs. And he reluctantly said, okay. And you see, Laura wears contacts, and as she was sound asleep, Barney was there, and the agent comes running up and says, we're under attack. We need you downstairs. And so there we go. I'm in my running shorts and my T-shirt, and I'm barefoot. Footed, got the dog in one hand. Laura had the cat. I'm holding Laura. And
I don't have my contacts in, and I'm in my fuzzy house slippers.
And the guy's out of breath, you know, the agent, and we're heading straight down to the basement because there's an incoming unidentified airplane which is going toward the White House. And then the guy says it's a friendly airplane, and we hustle all the way back upstairs and go to bed.
And we just lay there thinking about the way we must have looked. So the day starts in tragedy and ends in the Marx Brothers.
That's right. We got a laugh out of it. Yeah.
Now, that's the way it appears in Ladies' Home Journal. Even though this country had just suffered the worst attack ever on our own soil, somehow this man was able to end his day on a funny note. And as Michael Moore writes, I wonder how many of the 3,000 families who lost someone earlier that day had a funny ending before they went to sleep. Please, Michael Moore writes, read this, the above exchange aloud to anyone who will listen. It speaks volumes. Yeah, it will. I will post this at my website, MikeMalloy.com, when the program's over tonight. Download it. Take it to your local community theater. Download it, print it off, take it to your local community theater, and get some local actors to stage it. I don't think I have ever in my life, not in my consciousness. I'm not saying it never happened. I'm sure we've had crazed, toxically narcissistic presidents before, but none like this that I'm aware of. Not one who considered himself anointed by Jesus H. Christ and his daddy God to run the country and take us up to Armageddon and into the rapture. I don't think we have ever had a freak like this in charge of this country. And the world better watch its ass, too, because, you know, this freak also has his finger on 10,000 nuclear warheads. And he will use them. Because that's righteous fire. Amen. It is righteous fire. Hallelujah. It is bringing the Messiah back. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, geez, don't get me started. These people are sick. They are crazy. They're psychopathic. And it's our president and his funny wife, Pickles. All right, we are going to do Rumsfeld now. If you remember yesterday when we played the sound for you from Media Whore number one, Tim Russert, interviewing Dick Cheney, Cheney knew nothing. He knew nothing on Meet the Press. Today, Rummy plays the role of Colonel Klink. So let us begin. A reporter says, Mr. Secretary, have you received the interim report from David Kay on weapons of mass destruction in Iraq? And have you any indication whether weapons of mass destruction have been found? Now, let me back up just a second. David Kay is the one appointed by
too stupid to be president, George Bush, to lead this team of 1,400 inspectors who have been searching diligently for 40 days and 40 nights now and have found nothing. So the question to Colonel Klink, have you any indication, Mr. Secretary, whether weapons of mass destruction have been found?
I don't know about an interim report or whether there is one or whether it's coming forward, but there may very well be. I just haven't seen it. My instinct is to let that team of hundreds of people who are well-organized and working hard on this problem proceed in a manner that's appropriate to them, and they are interrogating a large number of people. And they are, from time to time, investigating various suspect sites. How they will pull that together into a report at some point is something I think I'll leave to them.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess you will leave it to them. I don't know about an interim report. I don't know whether there is one. Now, the guy who came up with the known unknowns, remember that? The known unknowns little speech when he deliberately tried to drive about 60% of the population of this country insane in one press conference? You remember that. Anyway, here's the next reporter's question from Mr. Known Unknowns.
Mr. Secretary, it now seems that you may not get the United Nations mandated multinational force of an additional 10 or 15,000 forces. There may be a veto in the Security Council. So if you don't get the multinational force to assist our forces in Iraq, what will you do? Will you send in more U.S. troops?
So what you've got is a number of people going around saying, why does the United States go it alone? Not, and people in the press repeating that we're going it alone, when in fact we're not going it alone. In fact, there is a large international coalition that currently is participating in Iraq.
Get crazy!
Whether or not there'll be a resolution, and whether or not we, even if there were a resolution, we would get that number of troops is an open question.
And we just
don't know.
We just don't know. Yeah, we don't know. We don't know. We don't know nothing. I know nothing. I don't know.
Reporter now says, now remember, this is a guy who said something about the moon attacking us. If you're a regular listener to this program, you've heard these sound bites about the moon attacking us and known unknowns and all that, that insane. You know, I talk about doing acid 30 years ago. Rumsfeld must do it daily. Right before he goes out for a press conference. Oh, hi, I noticed the doorknobs are all crawling around the ceiling. Hello. Oh, there's CNN. Oh, gee, look at the big eye on that camera. Oh, God, get it away from me. And the teeth. So this reporter says,
Mr. Secretary, back to the issue of weapons of mass destruction, please, sir. There was some testimony this morning from John Bolton on Capitol Hill from the State Department that suggested Iraq may have moved some of its chemical or biological weapons into Syria, or perhaps to other places, like maybe Disney World. What's your view on that?
I don't know. We've seen snippets of information over time that we know they buried MiG airplanes. We know they buried a lot of things. And we know in the prior war they flew their planes into Iran, for example. I do not have hard evidence that I could say that they have done that.
I know nothing. We've seen snippets of information. I don't know. And he laughed. Dr. Strangelove stands there and laughs. You think I'm kidding about this guy does acid? And he does the bad stuff, the brown acid. Now, what does Rummy have to say on Iraqi prisoners? The reporter says, Mr. Secretary, yes, sir. The general in charge of prisons in Iraq said today that some 4,400 prisoners have been classified as security detainees. I was wondering if you could explain, what that is, a security detainee, what their rights are, and really what the status is of the people who've been picked up in various raids in their own country since the end of major combat operations, sir.
I'm not quite familiar with that phrase that you quoted, apparently, out of the newspaper article, which I should have read. If you think about it this way, our forces go out every day.
Yeah.
There are incidents.
Yeah.
They pick up some people for a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
It may be because they've stolen a car. It may be because they've shot at somebody. Someone just waved the article at me as I was coming down here.
Yeah, so you don't know anything about it. Somebody just waved the article. Yeah, there are incidents. You know, our forces go out every day. There are incidents, you know, like death and arms and legs being blown off. And that's our guys, you know, and children, Iraqi children being turned into hamburger meat and mommies and daddies being gut shot with large caliber weapons. You know, it's war. War is hell. I'm not familiar with the phrase that you quoted, though, this stuff about security detainees. I don't know. I don't know anything about it. I'm the Secretary of Defense. What the hell are you asking me for? You know, go ask, I don't know, go ask Cheney, you know?
Mr. Secretary, once there are significant revenues coming in from Iraq's oil, will any of that money be used to reimburse U.S. taxpayers who are, spending the billions of dollars that are currently being spent to maintain troops and rebuild the country? So any chance of some of that money coming back to taxpayers?
I don't know if it's going to end up being a supplemental or a budget amendment myself.
Yeah.
But I know that those negotiations are currently taking place.
Woo.
And all of those kinds of questions are the kinds of questions that will get aired by the Managed Cost of Management and Budget in the process of discussing with Congress these things. I was out of the country when the bulk of that negotiation was going on, and Paul Wolfowitz was dealing with it.
Oh, God, I hate this guy! Oh! Oh! Oh, he makes my stomach bleed just listening to him. Oh, God, look, I'm sitting in a pool of blood here. Ow! Oh, God.
Where did this guy come from? What pit of hell coughed this thug up?
And here he is, the king of known unknowns. I don't know. I don't know. I was out of the country. I'm not familiar with that phrase. I don't know. We've seen snippets of information. We know they buried MiG airplanes, but I don't know. I don't have any hard evidence. Whether or not there'll be a resolution, I don't know. I don't know about an interim report, whether there is one. I don't know. I have no idea. Leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Doesn't it make you miss Cohen? What was Cohen's first name? Clinton's Republican Secretary of Defense, William Cohen. Huh? Remember when William Cohen, old jut-jawed, kind of steely-eyed William Cohen, would sit down with somebody on CNN or someplace, and they would, you know, a Republican, you know, Bill Clinton put a Republican in his Secretary of Defense. Ah, jeez. But at least Cohen... You know, William Cohen would sit there. You know, Cohen, that means teacher, doesn't it? Is that what it means, or does it mean priest? I think it means teacher. So there's Cohen sitting there explaining to the press, well, you know, we hit the pharmaceutical company in the Sudan. Was it the Sudan? I guess it was the Sudan. I don't know. Because they, you know, they're producing weapons of mass destruction. I know the right-wingers are going to say, I used to be a right-winger, they're going to say it was an aspirin factory. But, you know, Cohen would sit there and explain it to the best of his ability. Rummy comes out, all acid-headed up and, you know, just stoned on his ass, just completely freaked out. And well, people are waving things at me coming down the hall, and I don't know, there's stuff jumping out of doors. Ew, Jesus, the fire hose on the wall there, it just rose up like a snake. And you're asking me questions like, I don't know this stuff. Get away from me, I was out of the country. Jesus, I was in Lebanon. Or I don't know. Where was I? Idaho. Somewhere. Oh. Give me some nuclear weapons. This is the Secretary of Defense, Truth Seeker. This is a person who has lives of tens of thousands, nay, hundreds, no, millions of people. And he sees fire hoses rise off the wall like snakes.
I don't know.
I'm not familiar with that phrase. Security detainees? Well, it could be somebody who spit on the sidewalk in downtown Baghdad. I don't know. Don't ask me this stuff. Ask me nothing and get these spiders off of me! Oh, man. It's insane. Do you understand? These people are crazy. Crazy. Just staggering, fall down, talking fire hose nuts. Let's take a break while Mikey has a drink or something to calm down. Watching every move we make.
There's all kinds of ways to treat substance. I understand
anyone
that.
Who gets heartburn knows how irritating it can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant maximum strength myelin's a liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try maximum strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you're ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
We here at IE America Radio Network make sure that our listeners are informed about many different subjects in many different ways. And this is why we partner with Earthwatch Radio to bring you environmental research and related topics in concise 2-minute reports that are scientifically accurate, clearly written, and played at the bottom of every hour here on IE America Radio Network. But did you know that you can get even more great information about the environment and related issues at www.ewradio.org? This website contains an enormous amount of information on a wide range of subjects that concern science and the environment. Earthwatch Radio gives special attention to the global climate change, the Great Lakes, and the oceans, and it's all information that you need to know about. So get informed by going to www.ewradio.org and listen to the Earthwatch Radio 2-minute program at the bottom of every hour, every day, here on IE America Radio Network. It's our world. Let's learn how to take care of it. If you can't listen to the Earthwatch Radio program on your radio station, you can listen to it on our website's live streaming at www.ieamericaradio.com.
Martin Show.
Ta-da! We have caught somebody doing something right. Yes, indeed, folks. Dennis Kucinich. Dennis Kucinich has introduced a bill into the United States Congress called the Benjamin Franklin True Patriot Act. And Dennis Kucinich's law would repeal sections of the USA Patriot Act that authorize sneak and peek searches, warrantless library, medical, and financial record services, and the detention and deportation of non-citizens without meaningful judicial review. Beyond the Patriot Act, the bill also cements the fundamental right of attorney-client privilege and restores transparency in the Department of Justice and Homeland Security by revoking FOIA, Freedom of Information Act secrecy orders, along with other important provisions. As Dennis Kucinich said, and I quote, after September 11th, Americans did not authorize the deterioration of the first, 4th, 5th, 6th, 8th, and 14th Amendments.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Get encapsulated in a bubble.
Five before the hour. You raise the blade, you make the change, you rearrange me till I'm sane. God, that's scary music, you know? It's old music, but it's real scary. Couple of quick emails. Back to your phone. This is from Joe regarding that little bit we just did with Pickles and George from Ladies' Home Journal. Joe writes, Mike, remember on the evening of 9-1-1 when the Bush anecdote, which the Bush anecdote relates to, it was thought the number of deaths was much higher than 3,000. Some estimates were as high as 20,000. That should be related along with the story of Bush and Pickles yucking it up at the White House. Yeah, absolutely. Kevin in California, Lake Tahoe. Hi, Mike. This is regarding Alabama. I'm going to go broke, and what are the teachers going to do there, what are the kids going to do, the students, among other things. Kevin in Lake Tahoe, hey, Mike, my wife has spent $200 of our money on her classroom so far this year. I don't care about the money, but there's a finite number of people in California who can continue to do this. Yeah, you know, that's why I said it's not just Alabama. It's not just California. It's the entire country. And from Shelley, listening in Massachusetts, hello, Mike. I have a new bumper sticker on my car. Somewhere in Texas, there's a village missing an idiot. This is not exactly true, of course, because, as you know, Bush was born and raised in Connecticut. The whole down-to-earth Texas cowboy routine is just another deception. Great show as always, but breathe, Mike. Breathe or you're going to have a cardiac infarct. Not me! Shelley in Massachusetts. No, I'm, you know, I'm really... I promised my wife I wouldn't do that. Tony is calling from Waukegan, Illinois. Hey, Tony.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Doing good, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing just fine.
Great.
You know, you were talking earlier about how these Republicans are just in denial, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if you're aware of it, because, you know, we typically deal with things that are a lot more serious than this.
Right.
But the pig man has a new job.
He does? What's the pig man? Oh, ESPN?
That's right.
Yeah, he's going to do color commentary for football?
Oh, yes. Now, see, here's the thing. I am a major NFL junkie.
Can you hold it right there?
Sure.
I'm a major NFL junkie. Don't forget that sentence. Let me put you on hold. We'll come back to you. I've got to take a break here. And your phone call, if you're on hold, when we come back. What's this? Our Washington, D.C. bureau chief, Tony, another Tony, has called in? Oh, okay. Must have heard me last night when I said, where are all our bureau chiefs? All right. Another hour to go. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
I would like to see a law that says your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Four Iraqi policemen were injured when a car bomb went off outside a police station in Baghdad Monday, the U.S. military and Iraqi police said. The attack occurred just after 8 a.m. when a suicide bomber drove his car into the gate of a police station in the capital's Amariya district, said Captain Brad Loudon. Witnesses said the building houses the police force's Bureau of Criminal Investigations. The attack was carried off the day after the capture of former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein. Cornered alone in a cramped hole near one of his sumptuous palaces, a weary, disheveled Saddam Hussein was seized by U.S. troops and displayed on television screens worldwide Sunday, a humiliating fate for one of history's most brutal dictators. The man who waged and lost two wars against the United States and its allies was armed with a pistol when captured in a styrofoam-covered underground hideout, but did not resist, the U.S. military said. In the broadcast images, he resembled a desperate fugitive, an all-powerful president who had ordered his army to fight to the death. Former Senator Paul Simon was honored Sunday in a memorial service filled with dignitaries who paid tribute to the popular low-key senator as a tireless advocate for the oppressed. Simon's plain casket, topped by the artwork of his grandchildren, rested in front of a stage at Southern Illinois University's sports arena, where more than 3,500 people attended a service that included a 60-piece orchestra. Mourners at the service included Illinois Senator Dick Durbin, former Wyoming Senator Alan Simpson, Chicago Mayor Richard M. Daley, and former U.S. Labor Secretary Lynn Martin. When retired General Wesley Clark appears at Slobodan Milosevic's war crimes trial, it will not only be a meeting of wartime foes, but also of two candidates vying for power in elections at home. Clark was taking a hiatus from his campaign for the Democratic presidential nomination to testify on Monday and Tuesday in closed sessions of the Yugoslav War Crimes Tribunal at The Hague. Speaking as U.S. authorities announced the capture of deposed Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein, Clark said, "It's very important that international law is followed and that leaders who violate international law are held accountable." More news after this.
Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. America's national park system is one of the best ideas our country ever had, and I've got a lifetime of memories to prove it. But our parks are in trouble. Inadequate funding and other pressures are risking some of America's most awe-inspiring places. To help, visit www.americansfornationalparks.org or call 1-800-NATPARK, 1-800-NATPARK. There's just too much to lose.
Joe Horn really did phone it in Sunday night. The New Orleans receiver couldn't wait to talk about his touchdown, so he pulled out a cell phone and made a call from the end zone. After his second touchdown against the New York Giants, Horn was handed a phone that was planted under the padding used to protect the goalpost. The NFL had no immediate comment. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, A&E presents the 2003 Biography of the Year.
Wow, what an honor. Thanks to my family for supporting me after I survived the Iraq ambush, and my fans for comforting me during my insider trading scandal. Oh, I'm not done. A shout out to my voice coach for helping me become America's favorite idol.
only one will be Biography of the Year. Sunday night at 8, 7 Central, only on A&E, The Art of Entertainment.
Oh, it's to my fiancé for the rocks that I got. Thanks, sweetie.
Even in this age of rampant materialism, when some consider you inferior if your SUV is not as big as theirs, and even when the president has proclaimed shopping to be a matter of patriotic duty, I found this particular magazine ad to be both offensive and absurd. Shop, it instructed. You're good at it. Excuse me? Is our society so vacuous? Is our worthiness as citizens and human beings so diminished that we should now judge ourselves by shopping skills? Now, I certainly respect those people of modest incomes who have to work the system every day just to make ends meet, those with savvy survival skills who stalk sales, use coupons, go to farmers markets, buy secondhand goods, and otherwise stretch their meager dollars and coins to cover the rent, food, utilities, and other basics in life. But this was no ad for the downscale, but for the decidedly upscale, pitched to those who have idle hours and ample funds or credit to pamper themselves with luxury in excess, implying that buying stuff is some sort of high virtue in its own right. That's why I support the spirit of Buy Nothing Day, which comes the day after Thanksgiving, when corporate world kicks off the spending splurge of the holidays. Sponsored by a group called Adbusters, Buy Nothing Day tries to reestablish a sense of human worthiness beyond consumerism. The group urges us to truly embrace the spirit of the season by making our own gifts, doing something for the community, exchanging personal favors, and otherwise connecting in non-commercial ways. It prizes human creativity over cash. This is Jim Hightower saying, unsurprisingly, ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC refuse to allow Adbusters to purchase airtime for its Buy Nothing Day ads. But you can connect with their rebellious spirit on your own through www.adbusters.org.
That Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah,
yes,
I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of an earlier program, so don't call today, and thanks for listening. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Okay, welcome back. 7 past the hour. 800 Talk, yes, is where we are. And we're talking to Tony in Waukegan, Illinois. And where did we leave the sentence hanging in the air?
Yeah, I'm a big football junkie.
Yeah.
I mean, I gotta have my football. And, you know, now that I can't watch it the way I really want to.
You sure you can?
No, I really can't.
You can't?
No, it's really just, it's the continuing dumbing down of America.
Yeah.
Last night, I'm sitting on the phone with me and my friend Mark. Okay, we're like opposites in every conceivable way.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and this guy is ultra conservative to the max. I mean, Rush Limbaugh is his man.
Uh-huh.
And he's sitting there trying to convince me that, oh, it's absolutely silly that I shouldn't watch Rush because Rush knows more football than, you know, another guy he brings up. The guy he brings up that he knows more football about?
Yeah.
Michael Irvin. You know, former Dallas Cowboy, 3-time Super Bowl winner. Somehow, Rush Limbaugh knows more about, you know, pro football than
Michael
Irvin,
right.
So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, man, are you out of your mind?
Uh-huh.
You know, and then I realized the guy truly is brainwashed. I mean, obviously, he believes everything that comes out of the Bush administration. I swear to God, he sounds like a talking point.
Yeah. Have you listened? Is Limbaugh doing? He's on ESPN now.
He's doing the show every Sunday. And every time he comes on, everything's good until he shows up.
Right.
But when he shows up, that's when I turn the TV off.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what Limbaugh's deal is. He wanted to be on NBC Monday Night. Is it NBC Monday Night Football?
ABC.
Or ABC, and they gave it to Dennis Miller, and then Miller couldn't cut it, and Miller became a right winger. But Limbaugh wanted that job so bad, and all I can think of is some of these guys are so I can't think of the right word, but they want to hang out with the jocks and soldiers and people who the military, but especially jocks and stars, important people, media important people. And not realizing, of course, that they are already that. I mean, that's what Limbaugh is. He is a media superstar in this country, but so many of them get some kind of a almost sexual rush out of hanging, no pun intended, out of hanging out with, for example, of sports stars or military people. And I've never been able to understand that. With Limbaugh, he was a sportscaster. He couldn't play sports because he had a pilotio cyst on his ass. That's what kept him out of the military.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know.
Is that how you say it, Kathy? Pilotial or pilotio? It was just, I don't know, some kind of an open fissure in his anus. God, oh, God, that's awful. Why did I say that? Oh, it's time to go home. So I guess because, and furthermore, Rush is a coward, so of course he's going to want to hang out with men who are not cowards.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And so I guess that explains it.
It's just disturbing. I mean, you know, this guy constantly, and you know what here's what he said. He said, you know, if it were Bill Clinton, I could stand to watch Bill Clinton call a game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
I'm like, yeah, well, that's because Bill Clinton is actually really intelligent.
Right,
you know,
right.
He actually would know something worth anything.
Oh, no, wait. Your friend said he couldn't watch Clinton call a game?
Oh, he said he could.
He could.
Now, keep in mind, this is the guy who was blaming Bill Clinton during the early Clinton years.
Right.
And, Bill Clinton's costing me money in the stock market every
oh, my
day,
God.
Every stinking day.
Yeah, right.
I had to listen to that book.
Yeah, right. Was he saying that in the last quarter of 99 or the first quarter of 2000?
No. We stopped hearing about that about mid-90s.
Mid-90s, I think so.
Of course, that was strictly because the Republican Congress was there, and they were controlling the purse strings.
Oh, my God.
Now, you know, he's telling me, it's not so bad that we're running a deficit.
Yeah.
I swear to God, I wish I could make this up.
It's just incredible. You know, I used to have friends like that, Tony, but I had a choice. I could either kill them or find new friends. And I just decided I had a couple of good friends who were that kind of Republican. And I just, you know, I've got grandchildren. I don't want to spend the rest of my life in prison. It would have been a crime of passion. I would have got second-degree murder, life in prison, possibility parole after 20 years. And I just didn't want to do that. So instead of killing these people, I decided I'd just seek new friends. I hope you don't come down to that choice.
No, but I just look at this guy. You know, he's having kids now, and he's
right.
he's a professor in a university. I'm a high school teacher, and you know, he's constantly telling me that the Bush administration's got on the right track, and I'm just sitting here wondering, where are you looking?
What
world are you living in?
And I hope he doesn't teach political science.
Oh God, he teaches physics.
Oh well, okay, well that's all right then. Hey, Tony, good to hear from you, sir.
Thanks.
All right, take care. You have a nice evening. Yeah, nothing wrong with right-wingers teaching physics. Unless they're fundamentalist Christians, and then the whole field of physics doesn't exist. It's just devil's work or something. I don't know. Hi. Andy is calling from Seattle. Hey, Andy.
Hey, Mike. You had me in stitches tonight. Hey, first off, I want to say hi to my friend Sheila, who's listening in tonight. She's coming to see me tomorrow on site.
Hey, listen, are you on the headset?
Yeah, let me take it off.
All right.
There you go. How's that better?
That's much better. Yeah, you want to say hi to Sheila?
Yeah, my friend in Chicago. She's coming to see me tomorrow. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm sure she's listening tonight, right?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I told her, I said,
Stick around. Stick around. I'm going to say hi to you on Malloy's program.
That's right. Anyway,
Rumsferatu.
Rumsferatu.
That's good.
Perfectly.
That's good.
I don't know if you ever go to Democratic Underground or not, but there was a thread there that I started several months ago, and it was a picture of Rummy next to this German field marshal, and I swear to God, they're cloned.
Kathy stays in very tight contact with DU while we're on the air. She may have seen that, but it's all I can do just to keep flipping my microphone switch on and off during the program. So, no, I didn't see that, but it's Rummy. Rummy does look, he does look like, at least he looks like a Hollywood depiction of a German field marshal. But so does Wolf Blitzer.
Oh, yeah, warmed over death.
Yeah, warmed over... Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's good.
I can't stand him. The whole bunch of them. I mean, it's
they're very creepy. I mean, this gang creeps me out. At least Reagan, as much of a freak as Reagan was, as much of a freak as Pappy Bush was, they didn't creep me out. George W. Bush, I guess it's the monumental ignorance that is behind that smirk.
Oh, yes, undoubtedly.
And then this cadre of ghouls and vampires and werewolves who operate behind Bush. Jesus, this is just nightmare people. These are people that, you know, when you wake up at 2:30 in the morning, you don't know where in the hell you are, and you hear footsteps coming up the stairs. It's these people.
It is. Totally.
Oh, God, so, nightmare.
Yeah, they scare me to death. And now they're going to give them, Congress today voted, didn't they, to give them the ability now to build usable nukes?
Yeah, usable nukes.
What is that about?
Well, that's about Armageddon. Eventually, we've got to start flinging nukes, and Jesus will look down and go, "Oh, they're flinging nukes. I guess I'll go down and rapture up all the Christians." Oh my God, and put all the Jews to death. You know,
you
I
know,
mean,
the thing that worries me is you know I'm not really a Christian, but I've read the Bible. You know, I was
right.
raised Lutheran, Catholic light, you know, all the saints,
right.
you know, none of the saints and all the guilt. But, you know, it's like they're following the plan right down to the letter, but these people don't see that it's George Bush that's in my mind, if there was an Antichrist, it's
Oh, it's Bush. Oh, sure. Of course it's Bush. Either that or he's the angel of death. He's just, I mean, it's vile. It's frightening. It's nightmare time. Listen, I hope you have a great week with Sheila.
Thanks. Have a good rest of the night, and thanks for your show, Manny.
Thanks, Andy. Appreciate you checking in, Tom. There he is. Did you hear me last night, Tony, our Washington, D.C. bureau chief, whining, saying, I haven't heard from Tony. Where's Daryl in Detroit? Where's Tony in D.C.? Couldn't even think of your name.
You could let the blue-eyed soul brother down south have all the fun.
Where you been, Tony? You know, you're supposed to check in at least once every 6 months. That's why we write those big checks for you.
I know, though, but I was just so overwhelmed when I got my bloody $400 that, you know, I just had to go out in the town for 6 months to carry me a little while.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good.
I just want to ask you, is Malcolm X right or what when he says the chickens can come home to roost? Didn't
okay.
he say that? Didn't he, what's that guy on channel, Fox News, O'Reilly, in fact, say it's our money?
Yeah.
Now we can say it's our money. We don't want to spend that money because it's our money.
Well, no, it's only they only use the phrase "it's our money" when the Republicans are running for office, and they want to destroy. Look what happened over in Alabama.
Mm.
What I was talking about earlier tonight about the poor Republican governor Riley couldn't get
right.
a tax increase passed, and now the state is going to sink and disappear. It's going to smother under all those magnolia trees. It's over for Alabama. You know, they're just going to go. That's it. That's the end. So yeah, they talk about it's our money when they're trying to get elected, Tony. You know that.
You know, when I mean, O'Reilly, you remember when he was talking about the taxes? That's what I was talking about. He says, our money, why can't we get the refund?
That's right.
Now we say it's our money. We don't want to spend money on a situation where somebody guessed that somebody was going to kill, I mean, have 45 minutes. I mean, can you understand? I mean, I'm trying to sleep, you know?
No.
Can you say you spent $79 billion.
In April.
And our girls, our young men, people in the reserve,
right.
I thought
yeah.
that this man was going to give us 45 minutes of hell.
That's right.
I mean, can you try to conjure that out?
It's crazy. We are living in crazy world. This is the new Disneyland. It's called Crazyland.
And now you had the situation where people, he comes back and say, guess what? I need 87 minute bill. And all of it is on, when I was listening to the real Prime Minister of the United States say, we don't know how much we're going to get.
Right.
We don't know who that Saddam Hussein was. I mean, these are guesses now. These are not that concrete information. We have the biggest intelligence this side of the Mason-Dixon line. We got people who know last time you slept with.
Tony, hang on a minute. I got to do a quick break here. Hold on a second. What's this? I see on line two, our Detroit bureau chief is checking in. Huh? All these absent without leave. Bureau chiefs to check in him. That's good. That's good.
Yes, I'll get the door, roll the carpet on the floor. For a man.
For a man.
For a man.
Such a man.
For a man. With his hand up his.
Ditto. Ditto.
Ditto. Ditto.
Ask us the name of the king. It's Rush.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse-click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse-click away.
The Mike Molloy Show.
In an interview with the Associated Press, Kennedy said the case for going to war against Iraq was a fraud made up in Texas to give Republicans a political boost, and the money for the war is being used to bribe foreign leaders to send troops. Well, Tom DeLay, the bug man. He reminds me so much of Dennis Hopper's character in Blue Velvet. Remember Frank Booth? What was he sucking? What was it, nitrous oxide? That's what DeLay reminds me of. Only DeLay wouldn't be doing nitrous oxide. DeLay would be doing one of those weird bug-killing chemicals, like parathion. You know, it's my understanding, that stuff gets you real high right before it kills you.
That's the lowest thing I've ever heard. The lowest thing I've ever heard coming out of Kennedy's mouth.
This is the Frank Booth character from David Lynch's Blue Velvet. There's no question about that, Drew Ziegers.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this
This is Suzanne Cowardy.
I'm El Bracciotti, the famous mariachi.
Whatever.
This is Renee Scarponi.
Hey, baby.
This is Kim Kasnick.
Yeah, baby.
This is John Lucas.
Hey.
This is Stephanie Stryker.
Yeah, bud.
This is Steve Damshutter.
This is Shaw Jones.
This is Bill Vellner.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Ron Metzinger.
From our family to yours, have a
happy holiday and a great new year.
Isn't that just too cute?
Santa Claus!
Finally, the majority has a voice in talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Raymond is calling from Cement City, Michigan. Raymond, this is your first time calling, right?
Yeah, first time on the Mike Malloy Show. Good, well, good to get in here tonight.
Well, welcome aboard. Where is Cement City?
Well, it's in, it's about 100 miles west of Detroit, south of Jackson, and it's a real solid community.
There you go. Jackson being the capital.
Lansing.
Oh, that's right, Lansing's. That's all right. Well, so much for my Michigan geography. But that's not why you called, Raymond.
Yeah, what I wanted to bring up tonight, Mike, is that... You know, there's this draft Wesley Clark for president movement going on. And, boy, I'm looking at that real hard. I think a couple things appeal to me in that. Hopefully that he will get into the fray so we can really see where he is in this. But I think he has the qualifications to be a leader in the country and lead the country. And I think he has values that are consistent with a lot of the progressive views. And I think a third thing that I think is real important is, given those two things and he gets into the fray, I think he's more electable than the other candidates that the Democrats have, because he's a fresh face that I would think would appeal to the independents, the Democrats, and it would pull over a lot of Republicans that are dissatisfied. And I think we need somebody who can win, because we can't afford to lose too many elections, because there might not be too many free elections.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's...
Well, if I can jump in here, the last time we elected a general, I believe, was Dwight Eisenhower. And, you know, you have to go all the way back to 1952, so we're talking half a century ago. I said on this program that, given the nature of the world, that and the fact that we have a military, that I did believe that anyone who runs for anyone who gets elected president should probably have had some military service, and possibly even in a combat situation, because most people who have experienced combat come away from it, you know, unless they're war hogs, they come away with it, come away from it with a clear understanding that it's a total breakdown of the human spirit, of rational thought. It's a breakdown of reason. It's destructive, and so on and so forth. But I think I've modified that position a little bit, especially after listening closely to Dennis Kucinich and his position on a Department of Peace.
Mm-hmm.
There are other ways to approach global problems. It's just that we recently haven't tried those different approaches. And I don't know that we ever have the approach of engagement and cooperation. You know, we are the biggest dog in the pound. Nobody can mess with us. If somebody makes a threatening move to the United States, the fact is their country, and I don't care if it's China, Russia, or Somalia, their country can be turned into glass in about 46 minutes. So since we do have this incredibly awesome power, why not start focusing on people in leadership positions who believe in, as Kucinich puts it, a Department of Peace, that the idea of engagement, whether it's in our homes, our communities, or globally, that makes more sense if the human race is going to survive. Now, as far as the real politic of Wesley Clark, he might be a good balance on a ticket. I haven't completely turned away from that idea. you know, we can only be so idealistic. We also have to consider that without somebody with a clear understanding of the military on a Democratic Party ticket, the Republicans would just slash and burn, and the American public is so stupid, basically, that they would go along with it. So your idea is not without merit. I certainly don't want to argue Wesley Clark's qualifications, but I would like to see him as maybe in the secondary spot. Raymond, there's the music. Thank you. I hope you're going to call again, pal.
Okay, great.
All right, sir. Take care. Appreciate your call.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
River blindness once forced people in Africa to abandon their homes, but efforts to control the disease have helped them go home. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. River blindness has produced human misery on a massive scale across Africa. Black flies spread the disease, and they infect their victims with a parasite that gives rise to numerous symptoms that include the loss of sight. Eric Perlman is a microbiologist at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, Ohio, and he studies this parasite. Perlman says it's spread by biting flies that breed in rivers that run through fertile farmlands. For generations, this disease has been a serious health problem in West Africa.
A result of this was that these villages were emptied. And you can go onto the World Health Organization website, WHO.org, and you can find some pictures of this. You can see pictures of abandoned villages where people would just pick up and leave because of this disease. And that was really the motivation for the World Health Organization to become involved.
The UN organization used insecticides to kill the flies, and medical researchers looked for ways to treat people who had the disease. The victims are infected with larvae of a parasitic worm. When they grow into adults, they produce larvae of their own that can invade the eye. The worms themselves are infected with bacteria, and that's what causes the loss of eyesight. Perlman says the use of antibiotics can kill these bacteria and keep the adult worms from reproducing.
And so this is the drug against the adult parasites that people have been looking for years. The downside of this is that it takes several weeks of daily treatment to be effective, at least at this point in the investigation. And that, when you're talking about thousands of villages in fairly remote parts of Africa, is not the most practical approach.
Perlman says research is underway to make these treatments more practical. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
No subliminal messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
27 before the hour. By the way, our webmaster, Mark Marshall, says that the interview with Kucinich in its entirety will be posted on the site, front page, by 1 o'clock in the morning Eastern Time. So if you want to hear the just the interview portion, I believe that's what he's referring to, no commercials, no breaks, just the interview portion, the Q&A portion, I should say. It'll be at MikeMalloy.com on the main page in about 2 hours. Okay? Isn't he a great webmaster? He really is. Now, if he would just send me the Dreamweaver program so that we can post pictures and stuff. Robin is calling from Victor, West Virginia. Hey, Robin.
Hey, good evening, Mike. Hey. Awful glad to hear Mr. Kucinich on there, and yeah. I got to thinking. I think there is a circumstance where you would want to have Lieberman or Gephardt on your show.
All right, tell me what that would be.
You would. I think you should offer them exclusivity of your show to when the time comes for them to come on and announce that they're bowing out of the race in the face of the Kucinich juggernaut.
Okay, duly noted. That would be good.
And just a couple of other bouncing around kind of notes. We pay attention up here to the things that the Bushistas do.
Mm-hmm.
And coming from their school of you save trees by cutting them down, you clean the air by polluting it. Well,
you save the mountains in West Virginia by chopping the tops off.
Not just that. Recently, the Bush-driven Mine Safety and Health Administration was proposing new rules whereby we would reduce coal dust for coal miners by allowing more coal dust in the mines.
Jesus.
But oddly enough, that one got shut down because even the operators, the operators and the miners, and it was a miracle, got together, and both of them said it was stupid.
Well, you know, a dead miner is not a productive miner.
No, but you know, generally the management side of it, you know, they worry more about a raindrop falling on a piece of equipment because that piece of equipment might rust. You can always get another miner.
That's right. You can. You certainly can.
But and one last suggestion, based on the tenor of some of the commentary I've been hearing, while we talk about the relative merits of our favorite Democratic presidential candidates, let's do remember Ronald Reagan's 11th commandment:
speak no ill of any other Republican.
Exactly.
And replace the word Democrat. Yeah, it's that's hard to not do, speak ill of other Democrats, because I'm only speaking for myself now, but I think that a lot of people feel this way. The Democratic Party and the people who presume to speak for the Democratic Party have so miserably misled the party. It's just difficult not I guess it's pointing out the obvious, but you're right. You know, just like Grandma said, if you can't say something nice about somebody, don't say anything.
And you know, one of the things that I remember most is and that you hear a lot of the right wing hate radio people saying is that if you recall the Dukakis campaign, that it was actually Al Gore who brought up Willie Horton long before George the First ever did.
Yeah, back during the primaries. Right. That's
so,
true.
You know, that kind of thing's worth remembering. And from the entertainment side of things, Mike, I urge you to bring back a poetry slam. I personally would be willing to do my hip-hop version of Green Eggs and Ham.
Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah, we're considering it. We're considering it for sure. Robin, thanks for checking in, pal.
Yeah, you have a great night, Mike.
All right, sir. You too. You know, he makes a good point about Reagan's 11th commandment. Political commandment, not to speak ill of other Republicans. Robin's absolutely correct. Maybe we should try our damnedest here, Kathy, to adopt that attitude of if you can't say something nice, just don't say anything. Might be a good idea. Kathy's calling from Athens, Georgia. Hey, Kathy.
Hey, Mike.
How you doing?
Well, not well. I have a cold.
Oh, poor baby.
But I watched Crossfire tonight, and Wesley Clark was on.
Mm-hmm.
I think more than anything, he's going to offer his services as a vice presidential candidate.
Is that the feeling you got from listening to him?
That's what I think, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about him is he's not afraid to call it what it is. And he was asked what he thought about the president's landing on the aircraft carrier.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, you know, he should go to see the troops. but that was inappropriate.
Yeah, well, if Mr. Bush wants to go see the troops, he might want to go to Basra or Baghdad. He might want to go visit the frontline troops, who, by the way, it's my understanding from many sources, not just U.S. News sources, but foreign news sources, too, that some of the troops, our troops in Iraq, are getting close to mutiny. The general feeling is, I think I understand, is that these are the people that were assigned the killing and the bombing and the destruction. In other words, they were sent over there to do what soldiers are told to do.
Right.
Go kill people, break things up, and then we win. Try not to be killed yourself, but if you do get killed, well, you died for flag and country and mom. You don't use people who have just bombed and killed, which we hire them and train them and send them to do. You don't use the same people then to be so-called peacekeepers, people who now, after bombing and killing, are supposed to relate on a human level to the people they have just totally dominated.
Right.
And these young boys, I'm sorry, I will call them boys. To me, anyone 18, 19, 20 years old is a boy, if he's male. If she's female, she's a girl. These young boys, and to a lesser extent the young girls, are absolutely, absolutely unequipped emotionally, physically, logically, or mentally to shift from being killers to peacekeepers in the space of a week. It cannot be done. And the result is... We have soldiers killing civilians. We have people killing our soldiers. We have utter and absolute chaos there. Now, once we have taken over, as we have taken over, then there has to be a diminishing of the military presence. And if we were a country that really had any values at all, if we had a leadership that had any values, I should say, the forces in Iraq, our soldiers, would be withdrawn, and an international peacekeeping force that did not just go in there and kill and bomb and destroy would be put in its place.
Yes.
So as long as we have a military presence there, and apparently we're going to have a military presence there for the foreseeable future, it'll be a long time, we are going to have more dead Americans, we are going to have more dead Iraqis, and there will never, ever, ever be a democracy, which was not the intent of our invasion anyway.
Right.
There will never be peace. There will never be order. There will be chaos. And the civilian population of Iraq is beginning to hate us as viciously as an occupied population hates any occupying army. So we're in a world of trouble where it concerns... our troops there. As far as Bush going to see the troops, in his mind would be like you or I going to the zoo to look at the animals. He has that much respect for our soldiers, which is to say nothing, absolutely nothing.
The other thing about Wesley Clark is that he's not afraid to answer the questions about where are the weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah.
And what was the reason for going into Iraq?
Mm-hmm.
And he expounded on that a little bit by saying, well, the war, they've been planning this since 1997.
Yeah.
And the day after 9/11 is when they decided to go for it. They needed something like that in order to be able to do it.
Yeah, they needed the lie. They needed to convince enough of the American people, a big enough percentage, that Saddam Hussein was responsible for the terrorist attack on this country, and they succeeded.
Well, he's not going to be afraid to get out there and say it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I wanted to say.
Well, thank you. I hope you feel better soon, Kathy.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for checking in. Wesley Clark is worth paying attention to. Speaking of generals saying things, in front of the Senate Armed Services Committee, Lieutenant General John Abizaid, I believe that's how you pronounce it. He is Lebanese-American. He speaks, it's my understanding, he speaks fluent Arabic. He is going to be the military presence who's going to take the place of General Tommy Franks. Now, I want you to hear a couple of things. Senator Patrick Leahy asked him a question about the U.S., quote, intelligence, close quote, on weapons of mass destruction in Iraq prior to the war. This is a three-part answer. Listen to it.
Senator, I believe that my overall assessment of how intelligence served us throughout the campaign would be that intelligence was the most accurate that I've ever seen on the tactical level, probably the best I've ever seen on the operational level, and perplexingly incomplete on the strategic level with regard to weapons of mass destruction.
Now, this is a guy who can speak military ease, right? The most accurate I've ever seen on the tactical level, the best I've ever seen on the operational level, and perplexingly incomplete. Perplexingly incomplete on the strategic level with regards to weapons of mass destruction. He likes the word perplexing. Continuing to answer Leahy's questions about U.S. intelligence on weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, the general said this.
But it is perplexing to me, Senator, that we have not found weapons of mass destruction when the evidence was so pervasive that it would exist. After your visit, I called in my intelligence staff, and I put my intelligence professionals around the table. I said, is there anybody around this table who believes we will not find weapons of mass destruction in Iraq? And to a man and to a woman, they all said we would find it.
Well, then, General, you need to fire your intelligence professionals and get a new crop, pal, because obviously you're a lieutenant general. Which means you're just what you probably have 3 stars. A lieutenant general? You've got 3 stars. You're bucking for that 4th star, like Tommy has. So what? Your intelligence staff, your intelligence professionals are going to say to you, "Well, actually, John, there ain't no there, dude." No, they're not. They're going to tell you what you want to hear. That's what chain of command is all about. And see, this is a reason that. I do not think that somebody of flag rank should be president of the United States. I just don't think so, because they're not used to hearing or abiding dissenting opinion. The military is chain of command. Civilian government is, or was until the Bush crime family took over, compromise between 3 branches of government. So military commanders on that level, you know, once you get that 1st star, hell, once you're a full colonel, it's very difficult for you to tolerate disagreement. You may listen to disagreement on a strategic level, but if that's not what you think, and you're the general, you just say, okay, thanks for your input. Now let's do what I said, and everybody snaps too. There is no discussion or debate once it gets to that level, and when this general says it's perplexing to me, Senator, that we have not found weapons of mass destruction when the evidence was so pervasive that it would exist, then I call into question the man's sanity. What evidence, Lieutenant General John Abizaid, are you talking about? Are you talking about the evidence Colin Powell presented regarding a shipment of uranium from an African country to Saddam? Is that what you're talking about? Evidence that was a lie? Are you talking about the evidence that was presented that was 12 years old from a graduate thesis from a student at the University of California? Is that the evidence you're talking about? Are you talking about, General, the evidence of the little papier-mâché airplanes that were supposed to deliver nuclear bombs or chemical bombs on the United States? What evidence are you talking about, General John? Now, the fact that he speaks fluent Arabic means that he is probably a cut above, at least linguistically, General Tommy Franks. But anyone who can sit in front of a Senate committee, Senate Armed Services Committee, and answer questions, the evidence was so pervasive. What evidence? These people scare me. Marge is calling from Maryville, Indiana. Hey, Marge.
Hi there. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Yeah, I'm like, I think it must be catching whatever your other caller had. I got two.
Well, just stay back a little bit away from the phone.
Don't make me laugh. I'll start hacking.
All right.
When you were talking to Dennis Kucinich earlier, he referred to a Supreme Court ruling that had to do with a corporations getting free speech. It was Buckley versus what? Do you remember?
I do not. I'm not very good at remembering court cases, but now that you've brought it up, I will get 7 emails here very quickly identifying the case. And,
okay.
The next time you call in, I'll have Kathy tell you. But I don't know what that case was.
I thought he said Buckley versus something, but I don't know. I couldn't write fast enough.
I know it's certainly not new. It goes back, if I'm not mistaken, decades.
It blows my mind that a piece of paper can have free speech.
Well,
I mean, that's what a corporation is, isn't it?
It is. It is indeed.
Son of a gun.
It doesn't have a soul. It can't go to heaven or hell. It's, you know, just a piece of paper.
The other thing I heard today in reference to the additional killings that are going on in Iraq.
Yeah.
They quoted W saying a while back, excuse me, but my cat is being a pain in the butt.
Mm-hmm.
Your enemy is not surrounding your country. Your enemy is ruling your country.
Right.
Well, you know, they took that with their leaflets and whatnot and decided to start killing the people that are there supposedly running what is their country.
Yeah.
And so the Brits and the Americans are continued being killed.
Sure. Well, you know, that could apply to our country, too.
Honestly.
The enemy is not surrounding our country. The enemy is running our country.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And for your previous caller from DeKalb, I would recommend that he pick up a book called The People's History of the United States by Howard Zinn.
Yeah, that covers so-called affirmative action in the way I was trying to present it.
Indeed. I mean, it's been going on for 500 years. About time we changed it.
I hear that. Marge, thanks.
It's cold.
Thank you.
Take NyQuil. Right. You'll sleep like
a... Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
a... Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that!
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace stool softener capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing, Colace capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative, Colace capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply Cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply Cough. Use as directed.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
To see why people would call you up, you really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Okay, here we go. That comic book show promo, take one.
From the depths of Schroeder's parents' basement, that comic book show.
Hi, Steve. I'm Schroeder. Can I get your boys anything?
Mom, we're trying to do a promo for our show. Didn't you see the light on?
Oh, I'm sorry, honey. I didn't see it. But anyway, would you boys like something or not?
Will you just leave us alone, please? We're working against a deadline here. And no, we would not like anything.
Okay, then I'll leave you two boys alone.
Okay, where were we?
Dude, I wish I was your dad.
Why?
I promise you won't be mad at me now. But I gotta tell you something. Man, your mom is hot!
Dude!
Man, she's smoking, dude!
Knock it off!
Whoa!
Oh, will you just shut up?
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Don't forget, our webmaster, Mark Marshall, is going to post the interview with Kucinich at MikeMalloy.com. It should be up in about an hour or so. Not that you have to stay up, just check it tomorrow. It'll be on the main page. When Mark says main page, what does he mean, Kathy? He means the front page, the home page. When you go to MikeMalloy.com, boom, it'll tell you where to go. Okay, all right. So you'll be able to get that downloaded if you like. Also, it will be in context of the program. It'll be on WhiteRoseSociety.org by tomorrow. But if you just want the interview, it'll be there. Nadine is calling from Honolulu, our bureau chief out there. Hey, Nadine, we got about a minute and a half, dear.
Yes, I'm going to make it fast. The story on weapons of mass destruction that was put out today,
yeah,
first off, did not lead the three national network news. And second of all, it's not getting any traction.
Well, I hope not. You're talking about that little device that they said they found, a centrifuge, I believe.
Yes, then they expanded it to castor seeds and things like that. Yes, that one. The robe is playing games.
Yeah.
But it's not getting any traction.
Well, that's good. I happened to look at the monitor here in the studio when the whitest white man in television came on. That would be Lou Dobbs on CNN's Moneyline. And that was the story I think he led with. And it was just like, oh, I've got this very important. Oh, guess what? I just don't like Lou Dobbs.
Here's an important point, Mike.
What?
Fox did not break it.
Fox didn't?
No.
Well, then it must not be true, right? It must not have any value to bolster George W. Bush's lies. So
no, this is desperation. Something is cooking in D.C.
Well, good. I hope it is. I hope it's cooking in a pressure cooker. You remember pressure cookers?
Yes.
And I hope somebody forgets to release a little top, and it just blows and blows and blows.
Exactly.
Nadine, thanks for checking in.
You're welcome.
All right. You have a nice evening. I think that's it. If you're on hold, I just there's not enough time. There's not enough time left to take your call. So what have we got? Anything good for the last two nights this week? Anything good coming? Open your mind. Go ahead. Anything good coming up?
All I've got coming up, and it's probably not going to be ready until next week, is my little goodbye tribute to Ari Fleischer. But well, I want to save it for closer to his actual departure date, which is mid-July.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to that. A program engineered in Detroit tonight by Charlotte Jones, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Vittman announces for us. Again, thanks to Mark Marshall and MaximumInteractive.com for the website and all this work there. Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. Always, always a thank you to Jim in Arkansas. I'll see you tomorrow night. I hope. I really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Dude, and here's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America.